We'll start this third session with the 6128 switched on, with CPM loaded from your working copy of the CPM Plus disk, and showing the A prompt. Stop the tape if you need to get ready. During this session, we'll be using the training disk, and we'll be preparing another disk to use, so make sure you have your third blank disk ready. We'll be creating a startup disk, complete with the CPM system and the most important command files, together with programs from the real-time disk. You'll be able to start up the computer and load the programs without having to swap disks. We first need to prepare your new disk, and for that we need the disk kit program which you used in the first session. Your CPM disk is already in the drive, so key in diskkit3, D-I-S-C-K-I-T-3, and press return. After a few moments, you see the familiar diskkit display. This time you press the F4 key to select the option to format a disk. Next, you're asked if you want system format, a data format, or vendor format. The one we want is system, so press F9. I'll explain what's happening in a moment. Your CPM disk is a system disk. That's the one already in the drive, so press the space bar. When you're prompted, remove the disk and press the space bar again to continue. Now press Y to confirm you want to format as system. Insert your blank disk and press the spacebar once more. Formatting will take a little while, so I'll give you some background while it's happening. What exactly does formatting mean? You see, that brand new disk is really nothing more than a circular sheet of recording material inside a plastic case. Before you can use it on your computer, you have to prepare it by laying down a particular pattern of tracks on its surface. Without the tracks, the 6128 can't find its way around the disk, so it could not find any information stored on it. The tracks have to conform to a particular format, and the procedure you follow to prepare the disk is known as formatting the disk. You can reformat old disks if you want to. In fact, it's the most efficient way to recycle old disks. But be careful. The formatting process destroys all the information on a disk, so always double-check there's nothing valuable on the disk. Stop the tape until the formatting process is finished. If you haven't already done so, remove the disk from the drive and press the spacebar to continue. Now you get the choice to format another disk. We don't want to do that yet, so tap the spacebar to get back to the disk kit menu. Before you do anything else, take the disk you've just formatted and write on the label the words Course Startup. Stop the tape while you do that. The newly formatted disk is now ready to accept files, and we could copy the real-time disk onto it. But we wouldn't be able to start from it because it doesn't have the CPM system on it. Let's copy the real-time files first. We're still in diskkit, so press F7 from the menu. This time the disk is already formatted, so the copy process will be much faster. I want you to stop the tape while you follow the prompts once again. Remember what you'll have to do, and it might help to make a note of what I say here. You'll be reading from the source disk. That's your master copy of the training disk. And you'll be writing to the destination disk. That's your new disk labeled Course Startup. Make sure you put the disks in the right way up. Carry on now and stop the tape until you've finished the copy. You should now have completed copying the training disk onto the startup disk. We've finished with diskkit, So if you need to, press the space bar to get back to the menu, then F0 to get back to the A prompt. We need to do some work on the new disk, so make sure that your new course startup disk is in the drive. Let's just check that everything is okay. Key in DIR and return to get a listing. And you should see a number of files, including one called tinycalc.com and another called tinymail.com. And those are the files we'll be using in the next session. Startup now contains all the files from side one of your training disk. It's an exact copy. But at the moment, we can't start from it because it doesn't have a copy of the CPN system on it. Now, that doesn't matter. You can always start with 6128 from your CPN disk and then swap disk to run a program from a different disk. But it's often more convenient to be able to start up and run programs from the same disk. And for that, we'll need to put a copy of CPN on this disk. Before we do that, I need to give you some background. You see, the Amstrad 6128 computers are fitted with a single disk drive, Drive A. And it's set up to hold 180,000 characters, or 180k on each side of the disk. The two sides are completely independent. For example, your master disk has CPN Plus on one side and programming utilities on the other. Which one you get depends on which way round you put the disk. Take a closer look at one of your new disks, and you'll see that the disks are labelled Side A and Side B. So far in this course, we've been using just one side of the disks. The other bit of information goes back to when you formatted the disk with DiskKit. You had a choice of whether to format the disk as a system, vendor, or data disk. In essence, a system disk is one you can start CPM from. It has two reserved tracks for the system. Data format leaves no space for the system, which means that you can get a bit more information on the disk, but at the cost of not being able to use the disk as a startup. The vendor format is like the system format. It has reserved tracks, but in this case there's nothing on them. It's intended mainly for software publishers. If in doubt, use the system format all the time. Now, our startup disk is in the right format, but we can't start from it yet. I'll show you why. Key in DIR space B colon and return. And now put the CPN disk in the drive. Press the space bar to confirm the disk change, and you'll see the directory for the disk. We looked at the file c10cpm3.ems earlier. That's the CPM system file, and that's the file that turns any disk into a startup disk. If you don't have that file on the disk, you won't be able to start from it. We just need to copy that file from the CPM disk onto the startup disk, and you can do that with pip. We know there's a copy of pip on the CPM disk in drive B. So key in B colon, PIP, and tap return. As pip loads from that disk, you get the familiar asterisk prompt. Key in A colon, an equals sign, B colon, asterisk dot EMS. That is, copy any file called something.ems from drive B onto drive A, and press return. Stop the tape while you follow the prompts, and swap disks when you're asked. Drive A is the startup disk, and drive B is the CPM disk. We've finished with pip for now, so just press return to get back to the A prompt. Let's check that file went across OK. Key in DIR and return, and swap to the startup disk when you're prompted. And there you have a directory of your new disk, complete with a copy of the EMS file for the CPM system. This new disk doesn't have submit.com or profile.sub, so the startup sequence doesn't run any CPM commands automatically. Well, that's fine for this training session. But if you want to make your disk start up like your CPM working copy, you'll need to put some extra files onto it. You'll need submit.com, a profile.subfile, and a copy of any command files referred to in the profile. You may want to experiment with this after the training session. Don't forget, too, that you've only copied side A, which is only half the master training disk. All the files for the electric book revision are on side B. Let's have a look at that. Put side B of the master training disk into drive A, key in DIR, and press return. Notice there's a program file called read.com, an index file, and the transcripts of the sessions. You'll want to use them later, so before we go any further, let's copy these files onto your new startup disk. To do that, put the CPM disk into drive A. You've already worked through these copy procedures, so now is a good time to put it into practice and try it out on your own. You'll need to get Diskit going, then copy from side 2 of the master training disk the disk to read, and write onto side 2 of the startup disk. Don't try to copy onto side A of the startup disk. You'll overwrite the files you copied earlier. Stop the tape and start it again when you've transferred all the electric book files onto your startup disk. You've now got all the files you need for the rest of the training course on your new course startup disk. By the way, from here on in, I won't be reminding you to swap sides, so make sure your disks are labelled correctly. Now, let's go on to look at those TinyCalc and TinyMail programs. TinyCalc and TinyMail are two typical programs, sometimes called applications, which work using the CPM operating system. In fact, most programs which run on the 6128 use CPM. The programs are written to work on a variety of different computers, and CPM translates the instructions onto the specific code for your machine. BASIC is an exception to this, by the way. Your version is written specifically for the 6128, and that's why you can use BASIC without loading CPM. In the next part of this session, we'll be using the spreadsheet program TinyCalc. Most people have seen a word processing program running on a computer, turning the machine into a sort of glorified typewriter. Indeed, many people use their computers for word processing alone, which is a pity, since a computer is a general-purpose tool, which can help in a wide variety of tasks. Processing numbers with a spreadsheet program involves many of the same jobs as processing words, saving and reading files, moving the cursor around the screen, and so on. But in many ways, a spreadsheet can be more versatile than a word processor. Most things in business life can be expressed numerically. Budgets, targets, stock movements, break-even charts, projected cash flows, even planning the family budget. They're all areas that lend themselves to a spreadsheet analysis. Now, although all spreadsheets work in much the same way, some are more powerful and more complex than others. We've deliberately kept TinyCalc very simple. The idea is to give you an introduction to the topic so that you can see how spreadsheets might help you. Let's load the program. Check your course startup disk is in drive A. Key in TinyCalc, TinyCalc, and press return. Now, that opening screen display looks pretty much the same on any spreadsheet program. The large blank area in the middle, we'll call it the work area, is where the information you key in will appear. At the foot of the screen is the control area, which displays messages from the computer to you, as well as the instructions you give the computer. Well, the quickest way to understand the spreadsheet is to have a look at one we've provided on disk. To do that, we have to give TinyCalc a command to load the file from the disk. In the middle of the first line of the control area, it says backslash four commands. Tap the backwards facing slash symbol. It's just next to the right hand shift key. You get a list of the TinyCult commands, with one of them, disk, marked. What you're looking at, of course, is a sort of menu. In other words, a list of the options available to you at this point in the program. You use this sort of menu by highlighting the command you want with the left and right cursor keys, then pressing return. Tap the cursor right key a few times, and you'll see what I mean. Notice how the second line of the menu changes in step, explaining what each command lets you do. Keep going until disk is marked once again. And you can see that the disk command is the one you need for saving or loading files. So press return and you get a further menu, this time of disk options. The marked option load is the one we want to load a TinyCalc worksheet, so press return once again. You get a directory of all the .tcw files, standing for TinyCalc worksheets. By the way, worksheet is a common term for the individual models a spreadsheet program uses. We'll load a partially completed worksheet. Use your cursor keys to highlight the file marked prices.tcw and press return. Well, let's define a few terms. The worksheet is composed of a matrix of rows and columns. Where each row and column intersects is a box or cell containing one chunk of information. It's usual to refer to a cell by quoting its column letter and row number, rather like a map reference. The prices model calculates prices for a range of different guided tours, according to the mileage covered and the rate per mile. But the spreadsheet is incomplete. The bottom row shows only zero figures. It needs a value in the rate cell. The cursor is already marking cell B2. Key in the number 5.50. The entry appears in the control area at the foot of the screen. Press return and you put it on the worksheet. Notice too the message in the control area reminding you this is a numeric entry rather than text. Now that you've given the spreadsheet a value for the rate cell, it's been able to make the calculations across row 6, the total tour price row. Let's see how that was done. Move across and down to C6. This cell doesn't simply contain a number like 5.5. Look at the control area and you'll see the formula B2 times C5. In other words, the value in cell C6 is calculated by multiplying the value in the rate cell, B2, by the value in C5, which is 12. By specifying the cell reference in a spreadsheet calculation rather than a constant number, you ensure that as the values in related cells change, the new value is automatically used in the calculation. Let's key in the missing formula for cell F6. Move to F6 and key in a plus sign to start the formula. Now the formula itself. F5 asterisk B2. In other words, the value of cell F5 multiplied by the current value of cell B2. Press return to get the result. If you made a typing error, press the escape key and edit the entry. There are just two more cells to fill in, both in the Grand Tour column. Move to G5. The Grand Tour is just a combination of all the other tours. But instead of entering C5 plus D5 plus E5 plus F5, there's a quicker way. If you tell TinyCalc the range of cells you want added together,
It will do the work for you. A range is a block of consecutive cells in a row or a column. For instance, all the cells between and including A2 and A5, or the block of cells between C5 and F10, and so on. We wanted to sum cells C5 through to F5. So start, as before, with a plus sign. Then type C5, and to indicate a range, type a greater than symbol. That's the shifted full stop key. And then the cell at the end of the range, F5. Now press return, and the result appears in G5. Move your cursor down one cell and do the same here. Type a plus sign, and this time C6, a greater than sign, then F6, and press return. And you've completed the worksheet. Normally you'd save a copy of it on disk so you can retrieve it to update or just refer to later. But I want you to use the print option to get a copy on disk. Now, there are many reasons you want to do that. For example, to incorporate the figures into a letter you produced with your word processing program. Press the backslash key again for the commands. This time, instead of moving across to the print option, we'll try a shortcut. The quick way of selecting an option from this menu is to tap its initial letter. So tap the letter P to print. Here you could just hit return to get a printed copy on paper. But we've said we want to incorporate this into a word processed letter, so let's make a disk copy. Type in the file name figures, F-I-G-U-R-E-S, and tap return. And then the number 0, return, and we'll look at that file figures.lst later. Although the calculations we've been using so far are very simple, you could build up a very complex formula, including nested calculations. And most spreadsheet programs have built-in mathematical functions. TinyCalc functions include square root, absolute values, and so on. Well, this sample worksheet may be very clear, but it's not really typical. So let's have a look at something else. First, let's clear the work area. Press backslash, tap C for clear, and then the letter Y to confirm. Now, backslash again. D for disk, and L for load. And this time, highlight the file cache.tcw, and press return again. This worksheet is a cash flow forecast for a small business, showing income and various costs, and how the cash position in the company will fluctuate over time. The top line shows the expected bank balance at the start of each period, based on the previous period's performance. The figure for the opening bank balance is in cell C2. Well, this model doesn't show a very healthy bank balance, but what if the opening bank balance were 20 instead of 0? To get the answer, just type in the number 20 and press return. And as that change ripples through the worksheet, you can see immediately why the ability to ask what-if questions like this has made the spreadsheet program so popular in business today. Recalculating a very large or complex model could easily take several seconds. Notice the message in TinyCalc's control area telling you AutoCalc is switched on. Switching it off would enable you to build or edit your model first, then get it to do the calculations all in one go. And one more thing to look out for is the order in which calculations are carried out. It doesn't always matter, but if you have a model where figures are carried from one column to the next, you need to calculate column by column. If you calculate row by row, you'd get a misleading answer. TinyCalc tells you which setting it's on. Try changing the order and recalculating after the audio session, and you'll see what I mean. There's one other worksheet on the disk I want you to look at in this session. Once again, press the backslash key, then D for disk options,
then L to load, and this time pick the file invoice.tcw and press return. I want you to have a look at this worksheet on your own. You may like to experiment by changing values or formulae, or maybe adapt it to suit your own needs. And remember, you can print it out on paper if you have a printer, or print it to a disk file for later processing if you like. Stop the tape while you do that, and start it again when you're ready. And that's how to use a spreadsheet program. To end this session, tap backslash for commands once again, and this time tap the letter Q to quit, and you're back at the CPM-A prompt, ready to use another CPM command, or run another CPM program. Well, that's all for this session, so wind the tape onto the end and turn over, ready for session 4.